better. Right, good evening. I'm glad this is working. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for joining us for what I think is the first AI event we've ever held at the embassy.
On Monday night, the British Embassy hosted a reception for Washington's tech crowd.
I want to thank Politico and Stephen Overly from the Politico Tech Podcast.
In advance of a major AI summit the UK is putting on in 2 weeks. They're going all in on the promotion for it. This is Dame Karen Pierce, the British ambassador.
This is why the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, wanted to hold the AI safety summit. And I think it will be the world's first ever global summit on artificial intelligence safety.
The reality is, there are several global gatherings where AI and its risks are at the center of the conversation. But the UK wants to carve out its place in that debate, and this summit is its plan to do that. Today is Thursday, October 19th. I'm Stephen Overly. And on the show today, my conversation from that event with Emran Meehan, one of the UK's top tech officials.
And Emran, our lead officer for AI in the UK. One last thing, we always have a toast in the embassy, so I think we should have a toast to the future. Thank you. The future.
Now, you joined the Department of Science, Technology, Science, Innovation, and Technology just a few months ago in your role as Director General, and really, you know, I think inherited quite a heavy mandate to not only pull off sort of this AI summit, but really it seems to position, you know, the UK in a leadership position in the global AI conversation. I guess my question just to start out is sort of, you know, what moment are we in with AI and what is the UK's role in that moment?
Yeah, no, thank you. I stumble over the name of the department as well, so I'm not surprised that you just did. I'm a senior official at the Department for Science, Innovation and Technology. And as you say, I'm responsible for our work on artificial intelligence, but as part of a group that also focuses on other aspects of tech, on digital and on telecoms. Why are we bringing such a sharp focus and so much focus on AI at this point? Well, I think the most important thing to say, it's because of the potential of the technology. We are already seeing the potential of that technology in the private sector. We're seeing it run through all kinds of different firms across the UK economy and indeed across the global economy. But I think crucially as well, we're seeing it run through the public sector and through public services. So amazing applications in healthcare that are allowing scanning of health conditions to be done much more quickly and much more cheaply. Really powerful applications in education. And, you know, the list goes on. And yet, there is a real challenge, I think, around some of the public perception of artificial intelligence. So I think often the assumption that is immediately made is we're talking about artificial consciousness or artificial sentience. And in fact, the technologies that we're talking about are not that. But nevertheless, there is public concern about these technologies. There are some real documented challenges in terms of risks that these technologies may create or indeed exacerbate. So what we've wanted to do is kind of really lean into those, really lead the conversation about tackling those safety challenges in order to continue to unlock the benefits of artificial intelligence.
Well, so in hosting this AI summit, you know, I actually interviewed your boss this morning. It's been a very, very British heavy day on the podcast. The Secretary Michelle Donlan, and she made the point that, you know, the UK in hosting this summit is not looking to become a global regulator of AI necessarily or necessarily get all countries on board with legislation. So what is the end goal of this summit in terms of addressing some of the risks of AI?
Yeah. An important part of my brief for tonight was to manage expectations. So I think the first thing I'll say in managing expectations, the really important thing about the summit is to have a summit, is to have a conversation that brings together private businesses, the tech firms that are driving this technology and this innovation, governments, and crucially civil society. And for those three groups of people to come together for a meaningful, substantive conversation about what does AI safety look like at the frontier. How do we understand better the risks? How do we mitigate them? How do we understand better the opportunities? And how do we manage to make sure we get those opportunities? So kind of bringing those groups of people together in a conversation, we think, is really, really fundamental. Another really important part of success, I think, is developing the evidence base for what does safety look like at the frontier. So we've been working really hard to get a better handle on what some of the safety challenges are. We've been growing the capability of the UK system on this, so hiring in lots of experts, commissioning a whole bunch of work to help us to better understand the safety issues. And we want to drive the conversation at the summit using the content of some of the things that we've been finding out. So we want that to be a kind of really contentful conversation. And indeed, we laid out this morning the program for the summit and the kinds of areas of risk that we want to talk about as part of the summit. So I'd say the second part of success is having a really meaningful, substantive conversation about what the risks are and providing people with evidence about what those are. And then I'd say probably the third thing is then creating a forward process around, okay, we've had a conversation together about what these risks are. We've begun to grapple with some of the things we need to do to enhance our capability to manage these risks. Where do we go next? What does ongoing international collaboration on these things look like? What does ongoing best practice on the part of the tech firms look like? I think that's the third part of the conversation that we really want to drive at the summit.
Well, you know, you mentioned tech firms, you know, participating in the summit, and obviously there are a lot of large U.S.-based tech companies will be there. You know, in preparing for tonight, I was reading some of your past work, and I was intrigued. There was a column you wrote for The Independent. I don't know if you recall this, many years ago now, but it made the point that, you know, when Silicon billionaires get involved in public policy, it's sort of cause for alarm or alert. And with AI, I guess there's no way for those companies not to be part of the conversation. I guess the question, you know, with them being at the table and expressing some of the same concerns that the UK is raising around AI risk and regulation, you know, is there a red alert or an alarm, if you will?
No, look, I mean, throughout my government career, I've found, you know, you've got to have the people that you are having a conversation potentially about regulating, or where you're having a conversation potentially about how do you help their industries to go, they've got to be in the room. Because ultimately, they're the ones who are driving the innovation. They're the ones who understand what the drivers of that innovation are. And when you get a really proper conversation going, they're also the ones who best understand what the risks are. So I think doing this with the tech firms is absolutely essential. And I think that's really common between the approach that we're taking in the UK and the approach that you've been taking here in the US as well. The tech firms have been absolutely part of the conversation. But then other people need to be part of that conversation as well. We need to ensure that scientists, academics, civil society are part of that conversation, and critically that government and policymakers are part of that conversation. So that's why it's critically about bringing those three groups together.
I was going to ask sort of where the line is, because I definitely take the point that a lot of the experts of this technology are housed in these companies. But I think there's concern too with, you know, financial incentives in the mix that, you know, they may push for a lighter touch regulation than maybe other stakeholders, so to speak, would push for.
So personally, I don't think we should be worried about the fact that there are financial incentives here in the specific sense that it's the financial incentives that are going to drive the innovation, right? This is a technology that is capital intensive. It does take a lot of investment to drive this innovation, and it's going to take a lot of investment to drive adoption as well. So the fact that this is privately led, that it's private enterprise, I don't think that in itself should be experienced by anyone as a problem. But the critical thing is balancing that with a conversation that also allows you to talk about what are the risks that may be created here. And some of those risks are real and they're presenting right now. So there's risks around how artificial intelligence can potentially drive bias in decision making. There's risks around how artificial intelligence can be used to exacerbate problems of cybersecurity, of cybercrime, or indeed of wider financial crime. There's risks around counter and disinformation. And then there's risks that we also want to ensure we're talking about the summit about how might artificial intelligence create risks of misuse that might be relatively unique to artificial intelligence rather than to other technologies. So, for example, does it enhance the ability of people not only to do defensive cybersecurity, but offensive cybersecurity? Are there risks around a loss of control of this technology or a divergence between the intent for which it's created and the intent to which it may be put? And that's a conversation that I think equally you need to have the people who are creating the technology and the scientists who are creating the technology in the room, but balanced with policymakers and people from civil society.
We'll be right back. A lot of the concerns around AI remind me of the conversations around social media as well. And I know you deal a lot with online harms and the question I have is with social media and or sort of the early internet days, there was such a light touch to regulation. And now the UK, for instance, with its online safety bill are taking some steps to address those harms. How do we avoid repeating some of those same mistakes with AI when there's similar concerns about not, for instance, stifling innovation, but that obviously has to be balanced against some of these real concerns?
Yeah. So look, I think the key here is building on the foundations that we've already got in terms of the regulatory system. And you mentioned there online safety. We in the UK have just passed legislation on online safety, which allows us, we think it puts us in a stronger position to be able to regulate some of the harm that can be caused through the sharing of content online. That actually also really helps us to think about artificial intelligence as well, because some of the harms that may manifest and are manifesting already are about AI being used to drive exactly such harmful content. And so using the regulatory tools that we've literally just created to be able to manage for that, we think is the right way to go, rather than kind of deciding right from the beginning that you need to regulate for AI as if it's like a brand new set of problems. Where AI is being used to drive online harm, it's being used to drive a kind of harm that we've already been seeing over the last few years, and we've just created a regulatory system to do it. So let's use that existing regulatory framework to manage the same risk.
And you think the regulatory regime that's been created could be applicable to AI, or does it need to? Well, I guess, I mean, there's some ways in which the concerns are the same, but obviously it feels like with AI, they're turbocharged in a way, especially misinformation concerns in mind, particular come to mind.
Yeah. And look, this is where I think the conversation about AI needs to remain really well tethered to the evidence and to actual evidence of harm. I think that's the online harms debate, I think, is a really useful way for us to be able to do that, because we can see the ways in which AI may be used to drive online harms that I think we're already familiar with. And we should use the same framing, I think, in other contexts as well. That's why it's been so important for us in building up to the summit to be thinking about, right, we need to be able to demonstrate what the harm of AI is. We need to be able to show people what the actual risk is, rather than just speculate about it. And that's why it's really important to us to kind of bring evidence from our demonstrations that we've been carrying out to the summit, and indeed to use the summit to agree a future process by which we can continue to create evidence around what risks may be manifesting. Like, this is a conversation that has to remain really, really tethered to the evidence and really tethered to the science. Because I think when you talk to a lot of people, and this is not just people in firms, but people in academia as well, the truth is that the science of evaluation is in itself needs a lot of development. Lots of people doing absolutely fantastic work to learn how to better evaluate models. But I think even the people who are at the cutting edge of it know that there's a lot further to go. And we need to give that the time that it needs. We need to support it. It's one of the reasons why we're creating public sector capability around safety evaluation. So we've created a task force within government, hired in experts from industry, including Ian Hogarth, who chairs that for us, to drive that best practice around evaluation to really better understand what good evaluation looks like. Because it's only by doing that that we'll be able to have regulation that actually responds to the issues that present.
Right. Well, and I understand that AI Summit is intended to be a recurring event, and I'm sure the conversations you're having this year may look quite different from the ones in subsequent years as this technology evolves. For a last question to you, you know, we're obviously here in Washington. You know, DC is trying to figure out its own regulatory approach to AI. The White House is working on an executive order. Congress is, you know, proposing and circulating different ideas for how to regulate this. You know, I know you talk with many of the players here in DC. Is the goal ultimately to try to align, you know, the US and the UK regulatory approach to AI? Is that sort of an ideal outcome in your view?
I think what I'd say on that is kind of our experience of the conversation with counterparts in the US is that I think we're following very similar lines of thought. I think we're equally incentivized to ensure that the potential and the benefits of AI truly are realized. But I think we're really open-eyed and clear-sighted about what some of the risks are. So it's a really balanced approach. I don't think either system is leaping to regulation. I think there's a proper conversation going on about what does the evidence tell us and what's the best response to that. And again, it's the theme throughout this conversation. It's a conversation that we're having, seems to me, both in the US system and in the UK system, with the firms, with academia, and with civil society. So it feels like it's a really complete conversation. There'll be further to go. There'll be people that we want to continue to include. But it feels like it's a conversation, whereas in other systems, feels like it's already become or is at risk of becoming a slightly more closed conversation. And perhaps firms are finding that they're not part of that conversation. Their expertise is not part of the conversation. Whereas I think both in the US and the UK, where we're ensuring it's a more rounded conversation.
Got it. Well, we'll be interested to see how that conversation unfolds. Unfortunately, that is our time today. But Emran, thank you for joining us on Politico Tech.
Thanks very much.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's show comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our senior producer is Annie Reese. Our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. I'll see you back here tomorrow.